This is your morning drive for the soul. His time on Worldwide KFUO. The last few minutes this morning, Worldview Watch time. Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, keeping his eye on those life issues in the media, everything that's going on in the madness of our postmodern age, including this morning, euthanasia continues to march forward like a militant army, getting ready to start a new era of putting people to death. For merciful reasons, they say, but also some bit about creation and evolution. Normally we do that on Fridays, but it is important enough with BioLogos coming into the news as well. He's got some information about that. Dr. Weiss, good morning and welcome.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners, Pastor.
So, you asked in the break, I had not heard of this BioLogos. I know well enough about evolutionary creationism or the attempt to hybridize the two, but fill us in on this here.
Well, what this is an organization that I've been following for many, many years. It started with Francis Collins, MD, PhD, a committed Southern Baptist. I've heard him speak, plays guitar, and talk about Jesus at many conferences. And he started this organization called BioLogos, which is, a hybrid between evolution and creation. And they it's a nonprofit organization because it goes to biologos.org, and they're saying many Christians are moving over into this area because they have 10 statements on their website that starts off with, we believe Bible is inspired, authoritative word of God by the Holy Spirit, is the living and active means through which God speaks to the church today, bearing witness to God's Son. They believe that Jesus is truly God, and so forth, and all people with sin need salvation, and so forth, and that Jesus as fully God and fully human. You go down a little bit farther, and then they make this statement: we believe that the diversity and interrelation of all life on earth are best explained by the God-ordained process of evolution with common descent. Thus, evolution is not in opposition to God, but a means by which God providentially achieves his purposes. Therefore, we reject ideologies that claim that evolution is a purposeless process or that evolution replaces God. They're pretty vague about some of this stuff, but they talk about the various options that are available in the scriptures. The earth is 13.7 billion years old. Because they talk about the options to understand Adam and Eve, and then they get into other areas that the earth, of course, we have common descent. They do say that, well, humans really didn't come from chimpanzees, but where we did come, we had some sort of a common ancestor way back about, probably more than 4 million years ago, and that the days in the scriptures, the yom, which means day, really doesn't aspire to a full 24-hour or so. It means a long time period. So we're back into this argument of Genesis 1 over against Genesis 2. So, but people are gravitating to this because they move in a lot of Christian elements that look very good and make you feel better. So there you go. This is kind of what they're saying.
Right off the bat, though, they distinguish between God working through his word and God working through his spirit as if those are two different things. So that would tip my hat right at the beginning. But also important, so at first it sounded like you were talking about what could have been heard as the distinction between macroevolution and microevolution. That is, that the idea that we can observe variation of the species, and to my knowledge, there aren't Christians or creationists out there who deny variation the species at all. Clearly, the genetic code has variation in it, and through survival of the fittest, this does affect the way that we breed, if I can just say it that way. But macroevolution is a bigger idea that everything came about through the random course of events. They're denying that it's random, right? They're trying to say that there was a planned course of events, but here's the thing, it's still using death as the primary creative source. And so they run off to make fun of the word yom, and they actually just get that totally wrong, because there's morning, there's evening. It's not just day. There's morning, there's evening. For Pete's sake, how often is there morning and there evening in anything, right? But they run off there, and they attack the Hebrew text, ignoring that the whole purpose of being a Christian is because death is not our friend. God did not create death. We brought death into the world through the fall. Genesis 3 is the text that they are denying, whether they know it or not, and hence they're denying well, why Jesus died. It just, it blows my mind, Dr. Weiss, that Christians are so blind to the Savior's work.
Well, here's a good one for you, Pastor. They say that since there are several layers of meaning in the traditional view, that is, that Adam and Eve were created from nothing, since there's several, quote-unquote, layers of this explanation, that this traditional view does not account for. So they go back to Genesis 4 and they say, well, you know, some of the people who came from Cain's wife really don't say they came from Adam and Eve. And then they say, since there's multiple, here you go, this will really get you going.
Well, yeah,
multiple interpretations of Scripture are possible. The church can benefit. Here's their linchpin. From considering what God has revealed in the natural world, because
right.
the proper interpretation of the Scripture will not conflict with what we find there. So now, BioLogos is persuaded by the scientific evidence that human beings evolved, sharing common ancestors with all other life on Earth.
And we're back to something that we Lutherans accuse the Calvinists of in the debates over the Lord's Supper, the magisterial use of reason. So Scripture yeah. is not above my reason, it's under my reason. And so revelation is first in my head and second in the book. And once you walk down that path, oh my goodness, where do you end up? It never stops. And I believe, you know, there's a good chance this guy, you said you've heard him talk about Jesus, he really still believes Jesus is his Savior. What heresy does, though, what false teaching does, is it kills the next generation. The next generation runs farther with the heresy, and next thing you know, you end up where all of mainline Christianity is, with nothing to preach at all. It started with these same issues, and it's just, well, I want you to detach yourself from the word. What are you going to do? I want to make sure we give enough time here. Good, fair warning, BioLogos. It's a evolutionary thing. Lutherans out there, be careful. Don't play with it. Euthanasia
yeah, well,
in California.
They need to read their website and study it, because they're just simply saying that creation of Adam and Eve from nothing is not compatible with what scientists. So basically what they're saying is that science basically is above the Scriptures.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that they read this stuff and are informed about it, not just, I don't want to lock them in a closet, because this stuff is becoming more and more popular and more well-read.
But I'm going to counter every time. Well, science is not above the Scriptures, but it's certainly not above the fall. You're not going to see back past the fall, which is what they keep trying to do. I want to make sure we get in euthanasia in California. You mentioned that's a big thing there.
This is the first year of California's assisted suicide, and we need to be tuned into this, because George Soros and some of his other people are reaching out to get this into New York, into Michigan again, and so forth. Well, they have over 500 people have prescribed life-ending drugs in terms of physician-assisted suicide. And, of course, the pro-lobby people are very happy. But what kind of got me concerned here is that over 100 hospice locations in California have adopted this policy and supported patients' choice and doctors who choose to participate in this law. And so when we talk about people say hospice, my dad was in a hospice program, but he received hospice care management in terms of pain and so forth. But this is, of course, in Illinois where this isn't permitted. So hospice is now, I think, turning itself into almost a killing field. Rather than a helping field for people who are managing their pain and dying. So I think people need to be tuned in wherever state they are moving, especially the pastors who have received calls from both seminaries. And I've alerted them, at least in my classes, and I know Gifford Grobian, Professor Grobian has done this at Fort Wayne, that you need to be tuned into this law, because the hospice people now are starting to say, why not? You know, so... It's more politically correct to get on the bandwagon for this. And they're quoting Brittany Maynard, as most people know, who moved to Oregon and initiated this whole process. And so this is one of those areas that we need to be really tuned into. I'm just always concerned, but I'm not obsessed with it. But let's face it, end-of-life issues, we neither take nor give life in this situation. God is in control.
If this is the point of having a worldview watch at all, if you're just drinking from the massive information stream of American media, you're going to get to a point in your life where something happens, like a doctor walks into a room and you're not feeling very good and he says, look, I can make this all go away. Here you go. Let me murder you. He's just not going to say it that way. Or here, let me murder your father. and you're not going to know to say that is against creation. And as much as my father, my mother, my friend, myself, as much as I am suffering right now, I will trust in the Lord to see me through this river of death that I got to walk through, and I'm not going to take life into my own hands. We are not given to do it. And that's the real issue here. It's of course the people are suffering. And of course, you have a horse with a broken leg. Obviously, everyone kind of has done this for a long time, but human life is different. And that confession, that belief, to let go of that now when the events might be 30 years in the future, I mean, here's kind of the problem. What else are you going to lose by then?
That's right. So we got it. We're back to the basics, as you always talked about on his time, is back to what you believe, teach, and confess about life. We're not saying suffering is for nothing, but I would encourage our readers just simply to read Romans 5 on this whole issue of suffering. It's very quick, it's very easy, and it's very biblical and Christological. So this is an area that we have to be tuned into and be aware that the hospice programs initially were not devised to end the life of people, but to care and never to kill.
It goes back to the Hippocratic Oath even, right? The doctor exists to give life, to preserve life, not to take it. And we're flipping that entire thing on its head. What does that mean for the rest of civilization? What does that mean for the way that we see humans at all? How long until there is one class of people that's worth more than the rest? And that's, I don't mean right. to be alarmist, but it's the same kind of thinking.
But people need to be informed. And once again, We it says to baptize and to teach, and I'm going to harp on my thing again. We need to be teaching in the home. Parents need to be teaching. Pastors need to be teaching. DCEs, all church professionals need to be getting their people into the scriptures and taking them as they are and not to twist and to frame them according to the political correct society.
My guest, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, reminding us of the value of human life and how to take a stand in this dark and evil age. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Weiss.
Godspeed to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
I mean, that's some scary stuff. I don't mean to be alarmist, but the world is not our friend. I mean, this shouldn't be news to us, right? As Christians, we stand as people set apart. Come out of her, my people, the Lord said through his prophet Isaiah. Doesn't mean you can't live in the world. You have to. You can't go out in that sense, but we should not be of the world. And that means our minds need to be washed, not with the world's way of thinking, but with the word of God. And this morning, hopefully we've had enough of that it didn't leave you entirely terrified, just wanting more. Wanting more of who Jesus is and what he's done. Wanting more of law and gospel rightly divided. Wanting more confidence that on that last day you can trust in God. Trust also in Jesus, because the way, the truth, and the life, he does have it under control. So, in love of him, keep his word. This is your Morning Drive for the Soul on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I'll tell you what, universe, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is coming back. It could be today, could be tomorrow, but whether it is or not, I know. I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.